Hey, what's up, beautiful Billcast listeners? Welcome to another episode. I'm Gio.
And I'm Bart.
And I'm feeling so cute. So if you're only listening to me right now, I hope my voice sounds as cute as I think I look. And if you're on the YouTube, okay, Gio's feeling herself.
The stupid chair is stuck on the bed. Can't twist it at this small ass room.
Okay, well, you better compliment me now because I just sound freaking weird.
Wow, you look good. I like the way your tits are popping.
Thank you. Yeah, the tits are out. So if you're listening, move over to YouTube because they're coming out. I don't really put my tits out too much in the public.
Why not? Do you think it's weird?
To put my tits out?
Yeah. Do you think it's weird when other girls are putting their tits out?
No, I love when other girls put their tits out. I definitely look at their boobs.
Really?
I'm super straight, but I mean, I appreciate a nice rack.
What do you think is more feminine empowering? Because they always, you know, like talk about this. You know, when girls are like, am I just meat to you? Do you just, am I just an object? Right? And then so they think that when they're like sexy and they're eye candy, that they're being objectified, right? But then there's also the female group that's like, well, this is my fucking body and I do whatever I want with it. And since I arouse you, I own your emotions.
So what's your question?
Like, which one do you side with more? Because it's like,
I
the
mean,
same,
it really
it's
sounds,
same,
it sounds
the
like there's
thing.
A bias that you already have. You're going to knock that green tea over. You're making me so nervous. Can you put it like in
Joombi
the middle?
Oh, this Joombi matcha green tea?
Yeah. Shout out to Joombi.
Yeah.
So what was your question? Which one do I side with more?
Which one do you think is actually more empowering? You know what I mean? Because there's both.
I think both are empowering. I mean, both
are
stating.
They're fighting for.
But they're both stating their position. So I think they're both empowering. One of them is trying.
What's the truth?
I mean, whatever applies to you is your truth. You know, whatever you side with. That's why.
But that's the problem, right?
No. What are you talking about? Not everyone can think the exact same way.
Because then they go, okay. Because if they're like, let's say the girl that's like wants to be all covered up and thinks anyone, like especially like people like Cardi B, who like, wah, you know, it's all out there.
What gonna, does she do?
I don't know. They're going to be like, you are the reason why women are getting stepped on.
What? I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
Kind of.
Because the ones that's all covered up, they don't see that women owning it is empowering. They see it as like, you're the reason why dudes bust nuts.
I mean, they're going to bust nuts no matter what.
And you're the reason why we're being held back.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I can only speak on my truth.
Yeah, what's your truth?
Because I think for other people and whatever, you know, journey they're taking in life, like the people that are saying that are probably, you know, really involved with God. And they think that that's like their ticket to heaven. I don't know. You know what I mean? There's so many different reasons why women do what they do and say what they say about other women.
Yeah.
At least for me, though, I like the latter because it's like.
So you're the free the nipple movement?
I'm the own your shit movement. Regardless if it's male or female, I'm all about know what you bring to the table and fucking go full force. Do you know? Like, just be unapologetically you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying like be disrespectful to people. Like, obviously, you want to treat people, you know, with respect and kindness and stuff. But. It shouldn't be at the cost of your happiness. So I'm about own what the fuck you want to own. Like, take it. It's yours. So I like the latter where they're like, yeah, this is my shit. I own you because now I've been able to change you emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're more on the Cardi B side.
Yeah, like I think initially growing up, I've never really been that rigid in my thinking, but I can understand the rigidity because that's how I grew up with like my mom and my dad being very, really traditional, growing up in a small town where everyone knows your business. Like imagine you're living in a neighborhood that only has like, I don't know, 10 different houses. Like, of course, people are going to have opinions about every little thing that you do, what you wear, how you talk to people, who they see you talking to on the opposite sex, you know? So it like rumors get started, things get really annoying. So because they grew up that way, I was really conservative. Like I couldn't shave until I was maybe in high school. I couldn't wear makeup until I was about to graduate high school. Like I couldn't shop in the junior section. Like my whole life was really controlled because, you know, it's just an old school of thought where it's like, you don't want the wrong attention.
I grew up like that too in a village, but
what village?
the village of the Chinese mafia.
Okay, really? You really grew up with the Chinese mafia?
No.
I know.
But it felt like it. True. But it felt like it. So
how so?
So my mom's company, it was kind of like a Fortune. It is a Fortune 500 company. It's like a, but it's a Chinese company. So imagine working in like a Chinese AT&T, right? So everyone in my mom's company, they, her and all her coworkers are all friends. And then every one of us, we all went to Chinese school. And
every one of us, meaning the kids or also the coworkers?
All the kids.
Okay.
All the kids went to Chinese school together, and all the parents, we would go on vacations together. And so everyone kind of knew each other, and we knew, okay, this kid was going to go to this school, that kid's going to that school. And there might be like 10 or 20 of us in this family. So it felt like a small village because how, I guess, how close these people were. And we were always at each other's houses and stuff. It's imagine everyone in JK had kids now and we all hang out all the time. So Steve and Nikki, Casey and Tiff, Joe even has a kid. Like everyone, and then imagine like Tyka's 13 now. Everyone is 13 and we're just at each other's houses all the time. David So has kids, you know, like that. So it was like that. And so anytime that someone did something, it went through the grapevine real quick. Oh, cool. That person got a scholarship. Oh, that one's going to go to that college. Oh, this person did this. And for me, I was the troublemaker, right? So my news was always Bart got in trouble. Bart got kicked out of school. Bart's doing this. But so it's like very villagey. And then I guess in a villagey type of environment, you would think that you really care about how other people think because your audience is so personal to you, right? But for me, it always was so weird because I was always like, why am I in people's minds? And then using the lingo of today, I'm like, why am I living in people's minds rent-free? Like, why are people even thinking about me?
Yeah.
Why are these adults even thinking about Lillian's kids? Like, why is Bart so important? Like, that's something I never understood.
So what would they do that made you feel like that you were important?
I'm just like, you know, I would do something. My mom, think about what they would think. Think about what Auntie Teresa's going to think. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck about what Auntie Teresa thinks.
Well, I don't even think it's, I mean, it doesn't even sound like it was coming from Auntie Teresa. It just sounds like it's all your mom.
No, but they would do it because like Asian parents, they, you know, I don't know how Hispanic parents are, but Asian parents, they correct each other's kids, you know?
Same.
Like if we're all hanging out or something and then like someone, hey, pull your pants up, you know? So it's like that. So Auntie Teresa would be like, so I heard you got thinking about the school, you know, like they would. I'm like, bitch, why the fuck do you care?
Well, I think it's different because for your example, at least it's a community of friends. And that's completely different than a neighborhood because a neighborhood, they're not really invested in your personal life for the sake of seeing you succeed. They're just invested for the sake of gossip. So like they always had an opinion, even though they didn't know the full story. Whereas with your example, it's literally a community of friends.
They're actually friends. Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys have each other's back. So it's, they might not have had your best interest in mind, but they definitely had your mom's back because they were correcting behavior that they saw that wasn't suitable for your mom's standards that they probably agreed with too. Whereas with my mom and my dad, it was literally like, oh shit, did you see Martha? She said hi to this guy. Oh my God, I bet you they're fucking hot. Oh yeah, that she does kind of dress kind of like slutty or whatever. Like that's just some fucking horrible shit. Like that's just all gossip.
Yeah.
So for them growing up that way, my mom was very like, very paranoid of people making me or her kids feel that way. So I had to dress a certain way. I had to sit in a certain way. Like, and I just think it's old school thinking. Like I think a lot of minorities kind of grew up in that way because there's a lot of judgment.
Yeah.
So because of that, I was taught that like you don't want to wear tight clothing because you're going to get the wrong attention, or you don't want to, you know, be out of your house at a certain hour because you're going to get into trouble. Like usually that's the sex hour. You know what I mean? So there was just so much judgment on anything remotely close to sex. Right. And just dressing more provocatively, they didn't understand that it was you celebrating your body and you just being proud of yourself and you embracing whatever you find beautiful about yourself. They saw it as you're just seeking attention from the opposite sex for the sake of fucking, you know? So I grew up with that a lot. So it took a minute for me to battle that. 'Cause yeah, I just felt like everyone was always judging me. Like, oh my God, what is Martha's daughter? Like, how can she be this way? You know, because it was just in my mind so much that like I would see girls like that and I'd be like, man, that's sad. I bet she has mommy or daddy issues, you know, or like, man, she probably comes from a broken home. She doesn't value herself, you know. But the older I became, and I'm talking about like in my mid to late 20s, I was like, nah, I think it's quite the opposite. I think they're really embracing something that they're proud of. But it took me a minute.
I think it's going to break my heart the minute that Tyka realizes there's more than what he is. There's more than what he thinks about himself.
Say that again.
It's going to break my heart when Tyka realizes that his being, like who he is as a person,
is like it's not that important.
No, no, it's just it's more than what he thinks.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, right now it's he doesn't give a fuck what you think. It's like what he thinks is dope, right? So if he's like, if he wants to like smell his bushy, he doesn't care. He doesn't
his blanket.
Yeah, he doesn't care if you don't like his bushy or if you think his bushy is ugly, right? Or whatever. He just loves his bushy. That like he's bushy all day. That bushy life, right? But there's gonna be a come to a point where someone's gonna be like, "Ew, you're bushy," and he's like, "Oh, wait."
Where you'll be self conscious.
Yeah, like my opinion is only 50% of what this bushy yeah. is to me, and that's the part I think where I'm gonna have a broken heart because I'm like, oh, I like that right now. All he cares about is what he cares about.
Yeah, you know? That's gonna break my heart too.
And as much as he can hold on to that, the better, you know.
Yeah, I think at this point already, I've learned to embrace that already, because that's something that we're not going to be able to control, right? Because yeah. he's going to be interacting with just different kids that come from different backgrounds, and they're going to make fun of him. They're not going to come from loving homes, or hopefully they all come from loving homes and he doesn't have to experience it. What's up?
I'm trying to move his damn chair to get comfortable.
Oh, okay. So yeah, like I've already kind of been running through scenarios in my head where he's going to be proud of something. And like you said, someone's going to be like, oh, that's just stupid. And now he's going to have to like guard it because now he doesn't want to be viewed as like the weird, stupid kid. And like, he's going to come home one day and he's going to be sad. And I'm going to be like trying to fight back the tears and the anger because these stupid fucking kids are fucking with my fucking baby. And I have these scenarios in my head and I get really sad. And I just tell myself like, I mean, you just got to go through it.
You play those scenarios out already?
Yeah.
Damn.
I think since like last year or the year before that, like as soon as he was born, I was already thinking of like, man, I'm surrounding this kid with so much love. And in this bubble, he knows he's so important. He knows he's like the boss. He knows that like he has easy access to us and all the adults in his life really cater and pay attention to him. Like that's his world. That's all he knows. But that's not the reality. And when he goes to school, no one's going to give a fuck about him like that. Because everyone's coming from their own little bubbles, their own little worlds where they were the number one, you know? So like I started thinking of all that shit and I'm like, fuck all the bad influences and they're not going to take care of him the way I do. And then thinking of teachers scolding him and I'm like, because they're going to scold his ass for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all that stuff makes me really sad.
I also think it's going to be way better upbringing than what I had. So actually, like my life at home was so tough that I couldn't wait to go to school because school was easy. You know, like school was my bubble where people liked me because at home I didn't feel loved very much.
Aww.
So I think right now, like the way that he is, I'm like, I'm very happy that he can go home and go, oh, this is my refuge. School sucked today, but when I go home, it's going to feel awesome.
Yeah.
Like I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. I really want to embrace whatever his weird is or like whatever his free may be, you know, because I felt like I think I became more weird as an adolescent because I just didn't feel accepted by anyone. So I'm like, fuck it. If no one's going to accept me, I got to accept myself. So on purpose, I would try to be weird so that like I had an excuse as to why I didn't fit in with the cool people. I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to do my own shit. You know, and it was kind of lonely because no one else was really vibing that.
Yeah.
Other than like my handful of friends. But like if I had my parents always going like, nah, you're cool. Don't worry about those kids. They'll come around or whatever, you know, it would have felt a lot different. And I think I don't know. I mean, who knows how I would have turned out, but that's something I definitely want to do with him. Like I wished I was like my little quirks or whatever. I wish they were noticed.
Nurtured more.
Noticed. Yeah. Nurtured and like celebrated even.
I think that was a blessing for me that I was so weird, and I think my mom tried to put me in such a big box that from early on, I was extremely defiant to the point where it's just unapologetic about it. So it was like, well, fuck it. If I'm going to get in trouble anyways, then I'm just going to be whoever the fuck I want. And then so I think as a young age, I was like able to embrace it more because I already felt like I was the black sheep. So I was like black sheep for life then.
Yeah, same. Man, yeah. We should get black sheep tattoos.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be sick.
Imagine a polo shirt with the black sheep, the logo.
Oh, shit. I already see where your head's at.
That's pretty cool.
But really quickly, I do want to introduce our sponsor. Alrighty, so I'm so happy to be working with our sponsor, Chilly Sleep. I actually got introduced to Chilly Sleep, I want to say about 2 years ago, because if you know us, you know that Bart's a really hot person. Mm-hmm. I'm a really cold person. So we were constantly battling over the temperature of our room. He had a really thin blanket. I had to get my own really thick ass blanket. But once we were introduced to Chilly Sleep, it was game changing. So it's a mattress topper that has individual temperatures depending on if you're a hot or a cold person.
Her side is hot all the time.
All the freaking time. So when it was winter time, which is right now, so when it's winter time, I have my side of the bed set to 100 degrees and it is the best. It already feels, so you can set it on a timer. And I have mine turn on at 9 p.m. So as soon as I get into my bed at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock, it already feels like I've been sleeping in my bed. Like that's the type of warmth that I have on my side of the mattress.
And it's the worst because I have mine set at 65 because I love the way it feels underneath the pillow where it's nice and cold. And I wanted to stay that way all the time. So when I get into my side of the bed, it always feels like that.
Yes. So Chilly Sleep makes customized climate control sleep solutions that have helped us not only get better night's sleep by improving the, but also by improving our well-being, because sleep is such a huge determinant on the success that you're going to have. Like if you don't have a good night's rest, but the next day you have a meeting or you have to train, I don't know, for like a marathon or something or whatever your goal is, you don't want to be groggy. You don't want to be absent-minded. You don't want to have cloudy brain because you just didn't have a good night's sleep. Like sleep determines so much. It could even determine like, you know, like if you're going to hold fat in your midsection or not. So definitely check them out. And for everyone listening right now, Chilly Sleep Technology has a really special offer for you guys. So go to chillytechnology.com/bill for Chilly Sleep's best deal, which they are offering to all of you guys for a limited time offer. So go check it out. That's Chilly, C-H-I-L-I, technology.com/bill, B-E-A-W, for your special offer. And take control of your sleep because it's so damn important. And I love this product so much. Alrighty, so super happy to be introducing our next sponsor, Movement. I actually heard about this brand, another one, that I heard about them, up and coming brand. I want to say maybe like 3-4 years ago.
Yep.
They started selling, they were selling watches and I thought they looked so damn cute, super stylish. And I'm like, let me guess, it's going to be like $500 watches that I can't afford at that time because I was struggling as F. As fuck. Why did I say F? And I remember looking at the prices and it was so affordable for the type of watch that you get. And then looking into, you know, the bio of the company and how it started, it was really interesting because it was in a tiny apartment in SoCal, two college dropouts teamed up and created a watch company that broke all the rules with fair prices, unexpected colors, and clean original designs. That was the birth of Movement.
Yeah, they have some of the cleanest designs out there.
Yeah, they're really beautiful timepieces. Again, that won't break the bank. And Movement watches have the look and the quality of, like I said, a $400 to $500 watch that you're probably paying for at a department store, but it costs a fraction of the price because they were built online and own their own process from start to finish. So you're not paying the additional overhead because, you know, department stores are housing them and they have to, you know, they take a cut from whatever the sale is. It's direct to consumer from Movement. So you guys are saving so much money. And not only did they go from quality timepieces, now they're also coming out with blue light glass blockers.
Ooh, nice.
Blue light blocking glasses. And the same approach when it comes to the design. It's super clean, super sleek, super modern. And again, it doesn't break the bank and it's quality products. So if you want to elevate your look with style that doesn't break the bank, then join Movement and get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns. So make sure to go to movement.com/bail. That's M-V-M-T MVMT.com/bill. Again, that's MVMT.com/bill. Don't miss out because these watches are. And we are back. Yeah, I was also considered the black sheep. But recently you said something that kind of like, not threw me off, but really surprised me. And you said that I think once you graduated college, you really started embracing like your funny side. Like the way you have become now, how you're super goofy and playful and stuff. Like you would have never done that in your high school years or even your early college years.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of different types of trauma. I think as a kid, I was really goofy and I was a class clown. I was always like voted like most humorous or, you know, like most talkative or something like that, like all through elementary and junior high. And then, but that got me in trouble. So I try to slowly like, you know, package that and put that away. And then when you get into like early high school, like everyone wants to be cool, you know, and then you want to be cool. And also in the late 90s, like, being a gangster was cool. So it was like double alpha, double machismo. There's no room for that like fucking around type shit unless you're with your close friends. So I kind of packaged and put all that away and it was always just like chin up all the time. And
I can't even imagine you like that.
Yeah, but I mean like as much as my version could be, it'd be like just chin up all the time. And then maybe my close friends knew how goofy I was. And it wasn't until I think like in college, I think maybe that's why me and Joe connected so well because we were just fucking around. And I think.
And he also had a similar background, right?
Yeah. And then with like JK, we had such a cool outlet where we would just send each other funny videos, you know? And then I think that was just like the beginning of kind of like unraveling that string and just pulling on that yarn and see like what else is behind there.
That's really cool.
And then all of that, the rest of it like kind of came out more and more and more and more.
Yeah. I'm really grateful that we kind of grew up the way that we did, though, because like we really had to come up with a lot of our own answers. Whereas I guess other people, they can hear or view other people do things and then they're like, oh, got it. Or they may just never get it and they don't change. But I think for people like you and I, we have to experience it and fall flat on our fucking faces and get in trouble and defy a whole bunch of shit. And then we're like, oh, I get it.
I think experience is the best way to learn.
For everyone?
Everyone, yeah, in my opinion. In my opinion, I actually think all the information that we have now, it's dope because you're able to make way less mistakes and you're able to advance extremely quickly. Like, you know, when we first started like JK or when we started Bottle Brigade and we created businesses and stuff, it's like literally... try this, that doesn't work, do that. Try that, that doesn't work, do this. And you're just, you know, like a mouse in a maze trying to find where the cheese is at. These days, before you start a business, you could find like a how to build a business on Instagram course, you know, and an 8-week course to learning how to do this. And they give you pretty much like the general best practices already. And you start it and then you're pretty much like successful from the get-go. And, but with us, we had to learn those things, right? So I think the pro is you get to kind of get on the fast track real quick. But the part where when you're really trying to scale and you don't have the experience where someone kicked you in the mouth, I think that's when people can get really crippled because they're so used to like the
easy results.
Easy results, answers. The information and all that, you know? And then so when things really hit the fan, they don't have, they've never like, fell a little bit, got up, fell a little bit harder, got up, fell a little bit harder, got up. You know, it was just like, oh shit, I skated and I knew how to ollie and all of a sudden I knew how to like do a 50-50 grind and oh my God, I broke my leg.
Yeah.
Versus like we've had bumps and bruises and then like, it's like, oh yeah, that's, dude, you get it from that. You can do this, just do that, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. I even feel like right now though, that with this new era, business is just so different now. Business is all about like, how do you connect with that individual personally? Whereas before it's like, how do you connect with a group of people and solve their problems? Now it's like, how do you connect with that one person?
You're talking about the customer?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, like in terms of like business. Cause I think it operates on a completely different level than when we first started for sure. But yeah, I do agree. I think experience is way better. I think that's even something that your pops told you. Dude, I hear those shit that your pop tells you, and I'm like, man, that is so fucking cool. Like, I wish I had that. I'm about to sneeze, so go for it.
Go for what?
I don't know. Take it away. So it's not quiet. How do I live? Yeah, I think it's so dope that your dad always gave you like
Chinese proverbs.
Yeah.
The more I live, the more I'm like, dude, I think Chinese people had it figured out.
It sounds like it.
Like, you know, like the thing that you always hear Chinese people say, especially older people, like, oh, we got 5,000 years of history and culture and stuff like that, right? And then when communism came and a lot of that was thrown away, so a lot of Chinese people are kind of revisiting the past and the roots. And there's a lot of stuff that was already figured out. And even like, you know, like the whole like new mindfulness concept, it's really just like rebranded Taoism. You know, like being present, yourself, controlling your thoughts, controlling who you are, be understanding what your urges are, what are those urges. And it's kind of just like modern day Buddhism mixed with Taoism. And a lot of it is just really, they've already figured it out. And then because
Figured what out?
Whatever the answers we're looking for in this day and age, you know, like kind of like what you're saying, like the whole experience thing. Like my dad always has this, I forgot the Chinese proverb, but it's like something, I don't even know, but it's like pretty much like a 10,000 steps is better than 10,000 books. You know, like you go
what
out
about 10,000 miles.
I think it's 10,000 miles, to be honest. 10,000 miles is better than 10,000 books. Like what you see is always going to be better.
I was thinking of Michelle Branch, I think that's her name.
Oh, that one, yeah.
But I need down.
Yeah, it's like seeing 10,000, experiencing 10,000 miles is way better than whatever you could read in a book.
Yeah, that's sick. That was some shit I fucking told my parents all the fucking time. I'm like, I have to experience it. You don't understand.
Yeah.
But whatever. I hope to not do that to Taika. And I really do draw a lot of inspiration from girls and just people that really embrace who the fuck they are, regardless of how it's perceived. Like that for me is something that I really look up to right now. Like I fucking love that.
Who do you look up to right now?
I look up to a lot of people right now. There's so many people just in our friend circle that I look up to a lot because they're just fucking, I love that warrior spirit. I love people that are just, they're not satisfied with just being a mediocre self. And I love that shit. Like, I love it. It like fuels my shit. Like people that are just complacent and they're like, it is what it is. Like, I'm just, this is me. I'm just like, fuck, man. Cool. You're not my people. I can't do it.
Any names you want to drop?
Of what? People that are like that?
That inspire
a lot
you.
Of people. Oh, that inspire me?
Yeah.
You inspire me for sure.
I know. I'm just kidding. What about me inspires you?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just love how you're never satisfied with where you're at. You know, I like that you reach a certain level that you want to get to and you're like, tight. What else can I do with this? Like now
at the same time though, I also, this is a very Taoist, very Buddhist thought. It's also what kind of turmoil am I experiencing when I'm not happy with what I have?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean?
I literally just asked you, what do you mean?
So from one perspective, right? Ambition is dope because you're not satisfied with what you have with your reality, right? So you always want to push better. Like you want to increase this.
If that's how you want to see it, as little as you just worded it.
Yeah. That's how I am seeing it, right? Like if you want more. But by wanting more, by definition, also means you're not happy with less.
Well, not necessarily.
No.
That's why I'm saying, like, the way you worded it is already so small in my eyes.
How do you see it?
Because if you would have said it like, hey, I know I'm better than this. I know I'm bigger than this. Like, I know what my level is and I'm not there. Then it's like, oh shit, there's like an infinite amount of growth that you have and you have all this potential that you know that you can reach and you're just trying to get there.
But isn't that, if you know you're more than that, why do you need to do that then?
Well, because I think you're trying to live up to your fullest potential before you die.
I see. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Because I think the way you worded it was more of like, shouldn't I just be happy with where I'm at? I'm good. I'm healthy. I'm satisfied. I'm content here.
Yeah.
Why can't I enjoy this moment?
Yeah.
But for other people, they're like, I do enjoy this moment, but I know that this isn't where I want to be yet. Like I have a vision of my, it's kind of like when you start a business, right? It starts with an idea. Like when we started the gym, like we didn't just open a gym right away. Like it was so many steps that led up to that end result because we had the vision, we had the foresight of like, no, I know it's not just a home gym. Like I know it's bigger than that. Like I know it's not just a container gym. I know it's bigger than that, you know? So it's not that we weren't content. It's just we had this vision that we're like, that's what we want. So I think depending on how you view it is yeah. The mindset.
That's probably what drives billionaires. And that's probably why I'll never be a billionaire.
Probably.
Because I think billionaire, because you know, like the most common quote is like, fuck, when did you stop? Like, wasn't like 10 million good enough? Wasn't 1 million good
enough?
Yeah,
maybe
not. 100 million good enough? What the fuck do you want, right?
Maybe for them, it's not even money. Maybe yeah, for them, exactly. It's like, I want everyone to know my name.
Yeah, or they just want to, they go, I know this is the potential that I can have, you yeah. know? Like even listening to Elon Musk recently on Joe Rogan, where he's talking about him wanting humans to be the first interplanetary species.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you think on a godly level, you know, my brain doesn't even like, I just want to, if I could just have all the channels of like Hulu and Netflix, you know, like I don't even have all the streaming services. If I just had all the streaming services, I'm happy. Yeah. I don't need to be on no fucking planet, but this fool is so on such a godly level
yeah.
that he's like, motherfucker, I'm trying to like go into another planet where the gravity is different.
That's amazing.
That's fucking crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, real quick though, I do want to pause to introduce our sponsor.
Alrighty, so today we welcome a new sponsor to the podcast. Welcome IP Vanish. So what is IP Vanish? IP Vanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. So you can use a VPN on your computers, tablets, phone, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. So when you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. So what you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, it's private. So IP Vanish is just $3.49 a month. Yep, $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year. And that's just going to help you protect you or just you're just going to help yourself protect online browsing, all online privacy and security. So here's everything that you get with IP Vanish, an anonymous IP address. You get to circumvent any online censorship and you get protection when using public Wi-Fi. So make sure to go to ipvanish.com/bail and you're going to get 65% savings. So they have plans starting, like I said, from $3.49 a month to $27.99 a year. All right. So make sure to go to ipvanish.com/bail to get the deal and start protecting yourself online today. Are you just bored or mentally exhausted and you're like, I don't want to listen to anything. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to watch anything. I just want some me time. Well, Best Fiends is one of the hottest phone games out there. And I'm personally in love with playing the game. I am, oh my God, every time before I go to bed, I need to unwind and I need to chill. So of course, I open up Best Fiends and I say what's up to all my little insect buddies that I've collected through all of my Best Fiend journeys. And what my insect buddies do, they protect our garden. We have this beautiful garden and all these annoying, disgusting, greasy, slimy slugs are constantly trying to kill our crops, our gardens, our flowers, and I hate them. So it's a super fun game that's family friendly. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. Like my son, Taika, he's 3. He loves playing with it just because the graphics are so vibrant, so happy, so colorful. And the game is just so easy to understand. It's very stimulating, but it's, again, very easy to understand. And it's family friendly. It doesn't matter how old, how young you are. You're going to enjoy it. Make sure that you play it. Because trust me, you're going to love it and you're going to be like, what have I been wasting my time on? And if you're traveling or you just in an area that just has shoddy internet reception, don't sweat it because you don't even need to be plugged into anything in order for it to work.
So make sure to go download Best Fiends for free today at the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R. It's Best Fiends. You guys are going to love it. There's literally thousands of levels to play and it's counting. Like, there's still more being developed. So don't miss out. Get some R&R in. Get some you time in. Just relax and have a good old time playing Best Fiends. Again, you can download it for free. Apple App Store or Google Play. It's Friends without the R. Best Fiends. And we're back. Yeah, I think on that same episode he was talking about we just have to start asking the right questions. You know, because some of us aren't asking deep enough questions or like trying to find deep enough answers. Yeah. And I don't know. I think this year I've realized like life is too short. And I'm like, I don't know. Not that I don't want to be around those people, but I'd like to feel fire from people because I have fire, you know?
You do?
And I have.
You have fire?
Yeah. You have fire too.
What's that fire for?
It's burning for like the life I see that I deserve, you know, the life that I want to create for myself. So just having this fire in myself, when I see other people have that fire, I'm like instantly drawn to it like a fucking moth. You know, I'm just like, oh shit, you know, that fire. Cool. I know it too. Like, what are you doing? And I just get amped. Like when I hear them doing some good shit, like it doesn't take away from my flame, but I'm like fucking sick. Like, you're my tribe. I love that shit.
What's your ideal lifestyle?
My ideal lifestyle?
Let's say right now, all of your finances are covered and everything is covered for the next 50 years. What's your ideal day?
Oof. Okay, so my ideal day, have we traveled yet?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, so it does matter because then I would want to travel for sure.
Yeah,
so
I would want ideal day.
So I would want to spend, oof. I've never done it, so I'm not even going to say a year, but I would want to spend at least three months just on the road exploring, like not having any timelines, not having any agenda, just knowing that I want to hit this country or this state or this territory and just explore.
Is the goal limited by distance or by stops or by the time? Is it by 3 months? Wherever we stop just, in 3 months, it's cool.
Yeah. Just I think it's time. Yeah. Well, I think it's just what we can physically withstand.
Handle.
Yeah. Cause like, that's why I said
cabin fever like that.
Yeah. Like it might be too much, you know, like it might be like, oh, we're actually not these people. Like when we moved into downtown LA and like we had this image and this idea of like this, like really fun, explorative, like social lifestyle. Like we were going to go and like eat at cool places and walk around at night. We were going to do a bunch of stuff. But once we were living in it, we're like, okay, there's a bunch of bums. Everything smells like urine. We can't get to our fucking house because there's a Drake concert happening or the Lakers are playing and like it takes us an hour when it should only take us 5 minutes to get there. And like, you know, we have two big ass dogs, we don't have a patio for them to pee, so we have to go. Like it just turned into something completely different. Like it was reality really hit us. So that's why I said 3 months.
I see.
Yeah. So I would want to do that a lot.
Yeah.
I just want to experience literally everything. Like I want to travel and make friends in different countries and go see them like just on a whim, you know? And they're like, hey, we're going to go, parasailing. You guys want to come through? Oh, what day? Yeah, let's go. Like, I just want to do fun shit with fun people. Like I want to gain different experiences. I want to have friends all over the world. I want to just try like everything. I just want to try it out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But most of the stuff that I'm saying I want to try out, like it's mainly outdoorsy shit that I want to do. And like, you know, the occasional, like, let me experience like Fashion Week. Let me go to a Super Bowl. Let me see what that's like. You know, like I just want to live in like different circles, different environments. Like I just want to be like the wind and just fucking try anything and everything.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But I think my biggest thing right now is I just want to do that with people I care about. Like every time I see these things, I never see it as like just us three. Like I see it as like us experiencing it with people we love around us.
That's CUNY.
Yeah. So that's the stuff that I would want to see. What do you have to say to that?
I think it's CUNY. Yeah.
I just kept talking the whole time.
Oh no, I thought it was CUNY.
And What does that mean? What does CUNY mean? What are your thoughts? People are listening to your thoughts. You can't just say it's CUNY. Did it just blow you away? Is that what happened?
I was just experiencing what you're saying. I think that's really cool.
Oh, what about you?
I think, you know, when we're watching that Becoming You with the kids, I kind of like the Indonesian or Filipino lifestyle where you're just on a boat, right? And you're just rowing your damn boat. And then you just dive and look for shit.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah. I'm very like, I think like.
That's what I'm talking about. The experiences.
Yeah. I think what I want is, I think I'm a very, very simple guy. So I think like if things are set and I know Taika's set and I know that whenever I can like, you know, be reintegrated into society and still not be feel like I'm left behind. Like, I wouldn't mind, like, let's say we settle down in Hawaii and then we just, like, snorkel and we have a small little boat and we just take it out every day. And then the rest of the day, I kick it with, like, the aunties.
Same.
And I'm just weaving baskets with them.
Same.
Small baskets, big baskets, you know, just, like, super simple lifestyle. But and super chill and not get caught up in, like, the constant advancement of technology and where society is going.
Same.
But have like the future set to a point where I know the world isn't going to leave me behind in that way.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I definitely like that balance. Like I still want to know what's going on in like pop culture. I still want to be very much integrated with technology, but I don't want to experience life through a lens, like through a screen, like at home, we like watching a lot of like National Geographic, or we just watch a lot of like educational stuff, especially when my mom's here. She loves watching all that History Channel and all that shit. And I don't want to watch it on TV.
You know, like, see it in real life.
Yeah. Like I want to experience it. I want my life to be so full of experiences that I never even think about watching it on TV. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit like that is what I want to do.
I want to put Taika on a camel.
All of that. You know, I want my whole family to do that shit. Like, I want to, like, that's why I want us, or at least for me, that's why I want to work so hard and just hustle so much, because I just want to fill my basket up with all these eggs, you know, and now I can chill out, but I can take care of everyone around me and not have to worry about that. And now just, I get to enjoy the fruits of my labor. But I'm trying to do it now because, like, you know, I'm feeling good and I'm feeling young right now. I don't want to do it when I'm like 65.
Not that
there's anything wrong with that, but it's just because I don't see myself slowing down at 65. I see myself still being crazy and getting tattoos and like listening to live music. Like I don't want to change. I don't want my age to have to dictate like what I can and cannot do.
Yeah. I like the that like, you know, there's that movie trope of like the guy that plays the trumpet in like the jazz band. And he just comes in every day. He plays. And then like he knows the bartender.
That is a sad ass trumpet, man. Or sax or whatever that was.
Trumpet. Oh. And he gets his drink. The bartender knows him.
He was like. Just, brruh, brruh, brruh.
Yeah, and then he hangs out and then he just goes home. Like I really, there's something about like that repetitive lifestyle that I actually really like.
Like when someone's really trying to hone their craft? Like
no,
that?
No. Just like something that everyone does every single day. I know a lot of people, that would drive them crazy. But for me, I actually really like that.
That would drive me crazy.
Like if I was the guy that every day went to the supermarket. Hey, and like, hey, Bart. Hey, see, good seeing you again. Here to grab the eggs. Yep. You know me. I grab the eggs every Friday or whatever. Like, and I do that every single day.
Oh, there's my God. You're literally your dad.
I know.
You want to be your dad.
There's something like that I really, really enjoy. Of course, I like my breaks. But there's just something about like that routine where it's just very familiar that I don't know. I just like it for some reason.
Why? Why do you think you like it? Is it because it's thoughtless?
Maybe because it's thoughtless. And when things are thoughtless, you can really enjoy the micro. You know what I mean?
No.
Like if I'm eating, like let's say, for example, like let's say when you start to eat rice, right? When you eat the same thing every single day, that is now the new standard. So you can really taste the difference between rice. Like you can dive into the micro. But when things are constantly changing, your sensitivity to things is very broad strokes. You never get a chance to do like the, You know what I mean? Like kind of like even in fighting, right? Like people that are experts, that are masters, that have drill. They drill that jab a million times. Maybe on the 20,000th jab, they go, oh shoot, when I turn my chin just this way, when that person punches me, they miss me. And that's how they fine tune it. But if one day you're learning a jab, the next day you're learning takedowns, you're always learning things almost as like a kid, like an elementary level. It's like, today is a triangle, tomorrow is a circle. But if you stare at only triangles all day.
Well, I get that for skills. Like I understand it for a skill.
Yeah. So I'm talking about in sensory, and from a sensory perspective, when.
I don't know if I would agree to that.
So from a sensory perspective, right? If I'm walking to the park every single day, I'm picking up more things about the sidewalk. I'm picking up more things about the tree.
Maybe. Because I feel like after a certain amount of time of seeing it, now you just go on autopilot.
Oh, not me. Maybe that's not the way my mind works.
Oh. I mean, you drive the same route every single day. You're noticing new things every time you're driving home.
I knew even inside the car. I didn't know it was stitched like this.
Oh, yeah. No, my mind doesn't work like that. Maybe that's why. Like for me, when it comes to a skill, yes, I would agree because then that's how you can fine tune everything.
But everything's a skill.
I guess if you want to make it a skill.
Yeah.
But for me, driving home in traffic, I'm just like, just get me home because I don't want to be here.
Yeah, you can turn your brain off on things. Like for me, me brushing my teeth for 35 years, I'm not that much better than me brushing my teeth when I was 18, probably.
But who's going to say that you going to the market to get eggs every single Friday is going to be as fulfilling?
Me, because I know that's how I am.
Really?
Yeah. When it comes to like certain things, of course, I turn my brain off, like I was brushing my teeth. But other than that, like I really enjoy like just walking and, oh, that's different. It was like that. Oh,
you see that? What is it about that? Like, is it, I think I was asking you earlier and we kind of got here, but. Yeah, what? Okay, so it's, Did you have a lot of instability growing up?
Maybe.
Yeah, because I'm trying to figure out like, what is it that it's satisfying?
Maybe it's the instability. I mean, I switch schools every 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Because for me, my life was like clockwork. It was the exact same thing every single day. Like the other than like, no, it was the exact same thing every single day. Like going to school, like I knew what time to wake up and then what time my mom needed to be to work by. So I was going to be at school at that time and then picking me up. Like it was the same thing over and over. Like I didn't move houses my whole life. Like I only moved from one small house when I was like 9 into a bigger house my dad built that was on the same plot of land. And that was a huge deal. I'm like, holy shit, I get to walk 30 steps and I'm in a new house.
Yeah, no, my life changed so much. Every 2 or 3 years it changed. Changed teachers, got kicked out of school, got suspended. Some days stay late at school, start taking anger management classes, going back to school at 7 o'clock at night to see God the counselor.
Damn.
God just damn. Changed all the time.
Yeah, maybe you're tired of that. Maybe now you're just like, I just want a community where I can chill and people know my name.
Yeah.
You want Cheers.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what Cheers is? I feel like that's such an old show. It was like run in the 70s.
I just want my bowl of cereal that I can eat. And then every day when I eat it, when I spin the milk and the cornflakes around in a circle, I see a different shape in there.
I already know what type of old couple we're going to be.
What type?
You're going to be this, literally what you're wearing right now. Maybe more darker browns and blacks for you.
Maybe.
And then I'm going to be the eccentric fucking grandma that's fucking doing weird shit all the time. Because I just like, I get inspired by the fucking, I don't know, random as shit. And our house is going to look fucking crazy and you're not going to care because all you want to do is cereal, paper, sleep, dinner, knockout.
Yeah. I love that. Like I used to see my grandpa get up and every morning, you know, when there's dew, he would utilize that dew to wipe down his car. And I would see him like wipe down his car like it's his brand new car, his prized possession every single day. And it's just something, even as a kid, I would see the way he took care of his car and it was just so satisfying, you know? Kind of like the stuff that you watch, the oddly satisfying where like there's a dirty carpet and it goes, and all of a sudden it's like, it's all like cream colored when it looked gray on the sides. There's just something really satisfying of seeing someone do the exact same thing over and over every single day.
You're already fucking boring me. Yeah. I'm about to knock out.
Yeah, there's just something very satisfying.
So interesting how fucking polar opposite we are. Like for me, I'm like, I want new experiences all the time. I want to feel new energy. I want to hear more like new schools of thought. Like I just want to smell different air. I want to feel different earth on my feet. Like I just want different all the time. I just feel like that's how I grow faster. Like I really enjoy change and I really enjoy growth. And I can't do all that by myself. So for me, the cheat sheet is to go out and meet people and throw myself in different environments. Because then I just get to pick it up that much quicker. And I really enjoy that.
Maybe I'm tired of growing.
Oh, you think you've grown a lot, huh?
Yeah. Maybe I'm too grown.
Oh, okay. That's cute. I don't know. You look like you're fucking... Yeah, you look like you're done growing.
Really?
Yeah. You look fucking tired right now.
Really?
Yeah, it looks like your eyelashes are... your eyebrows... I mean, what?
You're tired.
Your eyelids are really heavy. Oh!
Hey, we got a new guest today. Everyone say what's up to Taika. Come here, Taika.
Here, say hi right here. Say hi right
say
here.
Say hi. Say hi, everybody.
Right here.
Say hi.
We have to speak here.
Hi.
Oh my goodness.
Say, how are you?
How are you?
Sing a song. Sing a song.
Good job. Okay. Sing again. Oh, yeah.
Next time I'm to see with me.
Good job.
Alrighty, baby, go with grandma. No. Please. All right, y'all. On that note, yes, change is good. Growth is good. Want more for yourself. Don't hate on other people. Let them live their life. You focus on you. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to our sponsors. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Our easy grandma's here.
And thank you to our sponsor, Chili Sleep. Make sure to head on over to chilitechnology.com/bear for Chili Sleep's best deal, which they are offering to all of you guys for a limited time. That's Chili, C-H-I-L-I, technology.com/bear, B-E-A-W, for your special offer. And thank you to Movement. If you want to elevate your look with style that doesn't break the bank, then join Movement and get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns. So make sure to go to movement.com/bail. That's MVMT.com/bail, B-E-A-W. Again, that's MVMT.com/bail.